Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So we're going to continue in our series, Invitation to the Miraculous. Sean did an incredible job last week. Let's give her a round of applause. And so let's go ahead and get you logged into the Mentimeter. We're going to continue our crowd participation. So it's menti.com, and the code there is 3466398. So again, 3466398. So the first question is for our YouTube crew. YouTube crew, was the best part of Thanksgiving? You can only choose one now, only choose one. I know we all want to say that, but let's keep it real. Now, if I don't see that football thing go up, I'm going to think something wrong with the fellas in the house now. Okay, there we go. Okay. Just one. Well, how about them Cowboys? That's all I got to say. Come on, Laz. Come on, bro. Come on now. All right, we'll let the rest of the church jump on in. If you haven't already, go ahead and jump in. Amen, family. Well, we are very grateful for our families. Very grateful. I'll leave it at that. So, you know, as we look at all these things, we are grateful for them all. I can't believe nobody went Black Shop on Friday. We don't do that anymore. That's also, so it's Cyber Monday, going back to the World Wide Web. Cyber Monday, I should have changed it. Well, too late for that now. So, you know, Sean spoke about the compassion of Jesus last week and the compassion for him that he would die on the cross, giving us his grace and his mercy. And quite honestly, my conviction is that should be one of the most important things that we should have gratitude for, is Jesus's grace and his mercy. The question is, how do we show that gratitude? A lot of times we will just say, oh God, I'm so grateful for you. And that's not to discount that. But in Luke chapter 8, we see an incredible demonstration of showing what gratitude really looks like in the demon-possessed man story. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We've looked at this story and it has several different angles, and we can't cover every last angle today. Many of our ministers here have taught some of those angles, and so I encourage you to go back and study it out. But in brief, what we have here is Jesus is rolling with his crew. He's rolling with his disciples, and they are in their home turf. Think of it as the Harvard of the religious group. They call this area the Triangle. So it's where all the Pharisees, all the great thinkers, everybody that memorized the Old Testament, they're here in this area. And this is where they want to be. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. So the first thing I want us to understand is where Jesus and his disciples are, but where Jesus wants to take them, to this place called the Gerasenes, otherwise in other biblical accounts in Book of Mark, the Decapolis. The Gerasenes is translated the place of the cast out ones. The Decapolis is the 10 pagan cities that had come together where a whole bunch of pagans, whole bunch of crazy worshipers, people that have nothing to do with God, are at. And so in the Jewish culture, they don't go over there. That's not where they hang out. Their parents have taught them, tradition has taught them, we don't go over there with those people. We don't even utter their name. And Jesus is telling the boys, hey, this is where we're going. We're going over there to be with them. Now imagine, that's like the place that your parents used to tell you, don't you get caught in that place after dark. You know what's going down in that place. Some of us visit those places sometimes. Sometimes for the right reasons, sometimes for the wrong reasons. But we know what those places are. And so the other thing I want you to understand is the mode of transportation. So Jesus was asking these guys to get into a boat. Just to make it simple, Jewish people don't like water. It is chaos to them in their upbringing. The only kind of water they like is rainwater and water from a spring. Any other water for them, they don't have anything to do with it unless they're making money. So don't ask me about why they were fishermen, Jackson, because they were making money. So Jesus is, one, asking these dudes to go to a place that they're never, ever supposed to go to. Two, he's asking them to use a mode of transportation that they do not like. And he's saying, come and follow me. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Them dudes is like, man, we're on this water. You're asking us to go to a place we don't want to go to, and you sleeping in the back of the boat. Now, for our biblical scholars, for those of us, where have we heard of a person sleeping in the boat in the Old Testament? Oh, man, I ain't going to give a gift card. Everybody know that. I was going to give a $50 gift card, but too many people. I ain't got that kind of money, so. But I'm proud that y'all know y'all Bible, though. That's good. So you have to remember what that story of Jonah is talking about. God is telling Jonah, go to some people you don't want to go to share the word of God. So I don't think Jesus is sleeping because he's tired. Jesus is sleeping because he's teaching them a lesson. He's getting them, because they know their Bible, they know their text, they have it memorized. He's telling them the word of God is meant to go to other people. Are you going to be with me or not? So the people with mental health during that time was very challenging. They were kicked out of the city. Nobody wanted to do anything with them. So this is just a recipe for disaster for the disciples. They don't want anything to do with this situation. And sometimes we don't want anything to do with the situation. Where are some places that Jesus might be trying to take us? And we like, nah, that ain't happening, Jack. I ain't going over there. I'm not going on that side of town. I'm not going to hang with that particular group of people. We all have to search our hearts and see where are we resisting the gospel message going, because we don't want to be there. The story continues. So Jesus, you know, he deals with the demons and they go into the pigs and the pigs jump off the end of the mountain. Y'all read and study that out. We don't have time for that today, but we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, a lot of the times when we read this story, this is where it stops. We get excited about the demon-possessed man. Man, he can't go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to go all over his town. What happens after that? Now, I got to jump out of Luke. Sorry, Angel. We got to go to a different section of the Bible. So pick it up in Mark. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. All right, this is the second time. Jesus only visits the Gerasenes and the Decapolis twice. We just read the first. This is the second time. Verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon. down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. If we read on in Mark chapter 8, verse 8, we see now a very familiar story. The feeding of the 5,000. We'll pick it up in verse 8. The people ate and were satisfied after the disciples picked up seven basketful of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. The demon-possessed man, he wanted his way. He wanted to go with Jesus. I would have wanted to go with Jesus. That dude just healed me of demons. Sure, I want to go with this guy. But Jesus says, that ain't the plan. This guy would have been a perfect candidate for discipleship. He was on the margins. He had no family, no friends, no place to worship other than the Decapolis. Everybody thought he was mentally unstable, so he had nothing. It would have been great for Jesus to tell Peter, slide over, Peter, give my man a seat. He can come with us. But that's not what happened. I always wanted to know, well, what did this demon-possessed man go to do? So he spoke all over town. I'm a results guy. What happened? This is what happens. We see 4,000 people come to faith. And you ask yourself, where did those people come from? Where did because really they're talking about 4,000 men. I know there's some sisters in that audience as well. So let's just ratchet it up to 8,000. 8,000 people. They came from the demon-possessed man showing his gratitude for Jesus healing him. And he didn't want to do it to begin with. He wanted to go with Jesus. What would have happened if Jesus would not have went to the other side? If he would not have went over to the Decapolis, the place where we don't want to be caught after dark. Demon-possessed man doesn't get healed. 4,000 plus people don't come to faith. This region doesn't receive Christianity. Generations are not changed. So through the gift of healing, we see Jesus invites the demon-possessed man into the miraculous. Now, I don't know all the character traits of the demon-possessed man. I don't know what his actual gift was, but whatever it was, he used it to glorify God. He used it to bring the kingdom of God into that region. You know, what's so cool is if you look at this time period, then you march 100 years forward, this area, which was full of pagan worship, now becomes one of the foundational places of Christianity. Many churches have been discovered there. The Nicene Creed, which is a creed of faith that was written, which is one of the foundational sayings in Christianity, it was written in this region. So now you're talking about not just churches being built. You're not talking about just disciples being made. My conviction is there's something even more critical here, is now you have the ability to change the culture. The culture that needs to be changed is the ability to decrease a divorce rate that's over 53%. The ability to allow families to have fathers. The ability for systematic racism to be stamped out. The ability for somebody to figure out who they are and identify themselves without fear of persecution or retribution or being beaten up or even killed. The ability for a disciple to help stamp out this senseless gun violence that is killing our young people week in and week out. You see, disciples, we have the ability to usher in this culture. It's just not about building a building. It's just not about meeting on Sunday. It's about changing generations, amen? And church, that's what we are able to do. We have gifts. I'm looking at this audience right now. We have gifts that are able to change generations. We just have to use our gifts to show our gratitude. And that's the title of my message today, Gifts for Gratitude. So Christianity is established. Demon-possessed man is healed. He didn't get his way now. He didn't get his way. He thought it was going to go one way and he was going to roll with Jesus. I want y'all to remember that. It's not going to always be your way. Sometimes you're going to have to go a different direction. It might not be your idea. It might not be your plan. But on the other side of cement to that is 4,000 people in a culture being changed. I know the last several years has been taxing. I know the last 3 years we have been almost to the point of being burnt out. I have felt that as well. I have confessed to some of y'all in the audience. But I want us to be encouraged. Please don't put your gifts in a garage and let them collect dust. Don't let them stay there. They are some hot rocket Ferraris and Lamborghinis that need to be on display for Jesus. Amen? You know, one thing that we also need to work through is our heart a little bit, right? So sometimes when we think we're using our gifts, we make it about people. We'd be like, man, shoot, Ed asked me to do that. Man, Angel and Jad, they asked me to do all this stuff. The church doing this, the church doing that. I feel y'all, I go through that too. I understand. But it's not about the people. Brother Roland Alexander said something so powerful when we were at our leadership retreat for the men. He says, what I do, my gifts, my talents, is an expression of my gratitude. I am using my gifts to express my gratitude to God. And that's my major point today. Use our gifts to express gratitude to God. Repeat after me. My gift, my gratitude. My gift, my gratitude. So what are your gifts? I want to hear from you all. What do you feel like your gifts are? This is a talented congregation of believers. I want to see what kind of gifts we have. So as we get that going, I do want to share about two people, and then we'll have a special brother come up. So Brother David Daniels, his gift is his medicine. He is a chief resident in family medicine at Morehouse, and David has used his gift to spread the gospel message. David met Jay George. Jay George says, I love Jesus. I want to become a disciple. Jay becomes a disciple. And then Jay invites one of his childhood friends out, Mike. And now we have a little crew that's running together. We have a crew that's going into places spreading the gospel message. David brings along his homeboys, Pete and Kende, and all the rest of the guys. How much easier would it have been for David to say, no, I'm just going to hang with the brothers. That's more comfortable. I know them. We're just going to do D group. We're just going to hang out. No, David went out. He was sent out. He used his gift of medicine to make an impact. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Teaching, encouragement. Mike, take note, man. We got some teachers in the audience, brother. Encouragement, hospitality. Yes, it's time to get back to hospitality. Interior design. So, you know, this is being captured, all right? We saved this stuff, just to let you know. And so now we just got to find out who has the gifts. Remember, don't make it about us now. Don't make it about the people. Nah, but this is amazing. This is awesome. You know, and the last one I want to talk about before we get our brother Mike Brooks up is my daughter, Kennedy. Hope I can get through this. So I asked Kennedy, I said, Kennedy, what's your gift? She said, Dad, my gift is lupus. I said, no, come on, Ken. I mean, that's a disease. She said, no. It's my gift that I want to use to show people that you can persevere through things even when you can't change them. Man, I cried. Because I would not think of a disease, a chronic disease that you cannot cure, being a gift. Brother Mike Brooks, we get to come on out. Mike Brooks is one of our brothers who has a specific gift that we wanted to share with the heart of his talent, which is poetry.
All right, this poem is called The Story of Gratitude. When I was a boy, I had no direction, and everything around me involved sin. I didn't have an example of what it felt like to love God or how to use your gifts to help you win. Instead, I would often live in my head, create scenarios based off what I saw rather than what was said. I had little faith. Seldomly I prayed. I mean, joy was around, but seldomly it stayed. I was fighting demons, but gratitude was all I needed. God's love kept me undefeated. I overcame my own obstacles and used my gifts of compassion to lead. I'm standing here today as a testament to God's grace, filled with God's love in a world full, in a world that's easy to hate. Michael Brooks is my name. I come to you in pieces. Shadow me with your love, God, until my work resembles Jesus. Use me as a vessel to lead our kings, even if it's one that's a nation that sings. It's a nation that gleams, and with joy, it sings. You are my shepherd. Guide me as I lead your sheep. Let gratitude be the seed that is sown, so that the gift of love is what we reap. To God be the glory. My only request is that you allow gratitude to tell my story.
Amen. Brother Mike Brooks has a mentorship program at Sandy Springs Middle Charter School. And so he is influencing the generation that is probably the most challenged right now. And he's recruited some other brothers to help him along with that. So if you are interested in that, talk to Mike Brooks. You know, Mike talked about demons. We've been talking about demon-possessed men. The demon-possessed man, yes, he was chained up by his people. And his people did not want anything to do with him. Now, physically, he was able to break these chains. But spiritually, he was not able to do anything before Jesus came along. And so the chains that we sometimes deal with, we may think that we're breaking out of them. We may be putting on a show for other people. But deep down inside, we still have spiritual bondage going on. And so it takes Jesus to come into our hearts so that we can get rid of these chains and drop them and let it go. Because if we don't allow Jesus to get rid of the chains of bondage, then we can't use the gifts to show the gratitude. So what chains are we dealing with right now? What chains are we dealing with? What prevents us from showing our gratitude to Jesus? I know for me, my gift is the gift of leadership and administration. And one of the chains that I was in bondage with was people pleasing. I wanted to make Mike and Angel happy. I wanted to show them how big and bad I was. That just caused all kinds of problems. I had to let go of the bondage of people pleasing. So I know it may be tough to articulate some of these things, but do know that the power of Jesus is able to break the chains. We can drop them. So pride, I get it. Amen. That's part of people pleasing. You want everybody to like you so much. Fear, anxiety. Ooh, I love the person that wants to be a perfectionist. All right now, that's challenging. Insecurities. This is great. I mean, these are things that we've got to work through if we are really going to show our gratitude. Because even with Those things, you can have all that stuff going on and you can still say, thank you, God. You can still say it. But today I'm talking about showing it with your gifts. So how many of us feel like we got to be put all together before we start showing our gratitude to God? Before we start using our gifts? Oh, I can't do that in the church yet. I haven't been around for 10 plus years. I haven't memorized the New Testament yet. I haven't been trained. I haven't gone through the Emerge and the Engage. I haven't been to divinity school. I can't do that stuff yet. Brothers and sisters, listen, the demon-possessed man ain't have none of that. That brother ain't have no training from Jesus. He was on that beach with Jesus for maybe an hour or two. And Jesus said, man, go on with your story. That's all he had was his story. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to be religiously trained before we start using our gifts in the church. Especially to show our gratitude to God. That's what it's about. So you don't have to be all put together. Jesus gave the demon-possessed man his story. That's all he needed at that time. And Jesus wanted him to share that with as many people as possible to show an act of gratitude. Maybe you're sitting there right now saying, Jackson, I don't know what my gift is. Maybe that gift is Jesus giving you the opportunity to follow him, to get to know him, to make him Lord of your life. The person that invited you out today, or if you're on a journey with Jesus right now, understand that may be your gift. This is your opportunity. So take action on it. Maybe you just became a disciple, or maybe you've been around for 10 plus years. It's time to pull your gift out of the old garage. Put some Armor All on them tires, man, and let's get that thing fired up. Because there are people out there that are dying spiritually, and they need our gifts to make an impact. Maybe your gifts is just your story. Sometimes we try to overcomplicate it. Not everybody can do everything. Sometimes it's just you telling your story. Or maybe you have a spiritual gift of leadership or administration or generosity or encouragement. Whatever that may be, how are we using those gifts to show gratitude to Jesus? That is my practical challenge for you today. Your gift, your gratitude, show it today. The demon-possessed man, he had his story. And at his point in his journey, this chain is getting heavy, y'all. I'm sorry. I've been working out, too. Golly. But apparently, that's all he needed at that season of his life. Don't overcomplicate it. Use your story as your gift. If we are still on the journey to figure that out, understand that God will make it clear. It may take some time, but while you're waiting, use your story. Use your story to show your gratitude. That's what the demon-possessed man did. And he had so much to be grateful for because he was healed. And we too are healed if we decide to follow Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the most important thing we should show our gratitude for. Him being on that cross and deciding to die for us is the ultimate act of love, which should dictate an ultimate act of gratitude. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this opportunity, God, to be in your presence, to experience your love. Father, I pray, God, that the gratitude that we have, that we've been on this journey of gratitude the whole year, God, that it will not stop in 2023, that it will continue to move forward. Father, let us use our gifts, figure out our gifts, pull our gifts out of the garage, and put them on display for you, God, just for you. The blood of your Son was spilt, and just because of that, that should well up gratitude in our hearts to know that we have an opportunity, Father, to partner with you, that the gifts that you have blessed us with to make an impact in our community, to change generations. And Father, we are excited to have that opportunity. In your holy Son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.